Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Diego Alfonso, airline transport pilot, designated pilot examiner, with over 13,000 hours of dual given from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. My name is Diego Alfonso, and one of your hosts of the Florida Aviation Network, broadcasting live and in the clear from the Florida Air Museum at the Sonnenfund Complex in Lakeland, Florida, during the 40th annual Sonnenfund Fly-In and Exposition. I have here with me my great co-host, Walt Schammel. Walt, how are you?
Doing great, Diego. Have you been around the facility lately? I've been here for 2 weeks, and everybody's smiling. There's not a frown in the bunch. And yesterday and the day before, there's some Russian visitors, and they got a ride in a seaplane. And that one visitor, I think he's 17, his feet hadn't touched the ground yet. That's all he talks about is that seaplane ride.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. That's one thing that I've never gotten was my seaplane rating. And we did try at some point. Walt was my instructor, as a matter of fact, at that time. But there is something about the seaplane that I don't know if I'm water shy or whatever. You know, what do you think is the problem? I can fly the plane, but when it gets near the water, I feel like I want to go up again and leave and land at a runway somewhere. What do you think the problem is?
Well, I think the biggest problem was that was a land plane you were flying.
That's why you didn't want to let me touch the water, did you? Now, there's one thing that you don't know probably, but, and I'm being serious now. You are probably my mentor. And I'll tell you, when I first met you was when I was inducted into the designee pilot examiner program back in 1989, I believe, 1990. And I believe that was the first year that they send the team for the kind of the indoctrination type of thing to the field, and you guys came to Orlando, and you were the man in charge of the group, and I always liked the way that you handled yourself publicly. I mean, public speaking, and the way you instructed and the way you you taught those classes. And I said, even though I was very young, I said, when I grow up, I want to be just like Walt. And guess what? Here I am.
See, you can't beat that. those are some pretty interesting days. We started that traveling show, and basically we only went to two places, and that was either Emory-Riddle or here, because there's so many examiners. And we had a full class, so we would come down here to do it, and it was cheaper for y'all to do it. And in those days, we considered how much the examiner had to pay for lodging and travel and everything. Then we reverted back to what we did before, the initial course, 5 days, Oklahoma City. We wanted you to experience the annual wind festival. The Oklahoma City Wind Festival runs from January 1 to December 31. And a lot of people don't know that the average wind speed is zero. Mm. And it's an interesting place to fly because of that. Yeah, 6 months out of the year, the wind blows from here. And the other 6 months out of the year, it blows from here. So on the average, it's zero. But when the wind stops, all the pilots in Oklahoma are used to landing with one wing down.
I can imagine.
And now they come in, there's no wind, they're all over the runway. And it's hilarious to just go out and watch that.
That's one of the things when you learn to fly in different regions of the country, they all have their specific idiosyncrasies, I guess. That's the word. That's a ninth grade word, by the way, you know. But when I was flying up north, I had we had the same problem. In the winter time, you get all that wind. If you're not used to flying in wind, you don't fly during the winter time. And I used to, one of my first jobs was to, I flew in a 150 for a company called Shadow Traffic. This was the pioneering in traffic information being over radio, broadcast over radio. We didn't broadcast directly to the radio station. We kind of relay the message to the base, and the base in turn sold the information to the radio station. And I mean, we got up in the morning. We're supposed to be airborne by 6 a.m. In a winter month, you got 30, 35 knots in a 150. As a matter of fact, I didn't do this, but the other fellow, I canceled the flight that day, but he had the airplane towed to the runway because he couldn't taxi because we were directly crosswind. But he had the airplane towed to the runway, started it there, and then took off. But those are the days. But I never flown in Oklahoma. I've flown into Oklahoma, but you've done a lot of flying in Oklahoma and their vicinity.
All over the state, and I had a lot of fun, but I think probably the greatest fun I had was when I lived in Alaska. I lived in Fairbanks, and up there, because of the winter season and so forth, you had floats in the summer and you had skis in the winter. A lot of airplanes had the Tundra tires on them, but I flew a ski plane that had retractable landing gear. And it was fine on the snow as long as you remember to bring the wheels up. But when you came back into Fairbanks, they had a 4,000-foot gravel runway at the time. Those skis make a terrible racket on that gravel. Gears down. I didn't land gear up. But the trailing edge of the skis on that gravel, and the whole airplane just vibrates and shakes with that gravel. As I said, it's distracting, and it scared a couple of my passengers. So I said, well, we need to do something else. So I'd land off to one side in the snow.
Okay.
And eliminated the problem. Had a lot of fun.
With the skis.
With the skis.
Well, I mean, of course it eliminates the problem because that's the nature of the thing right there. Well, now, tell me a little bit, because you've been retired now for what, 4, 5, 6 years?
Well, thank you very much, Diego. I appreciate that. Actually, I retired in 2001.
Holy moly.
And I was minding my own business when I got a call from a company that trains airline pilots. And I took a job with them for 10 years. And I've retired again. And frankly, I found it easier to work because my wife has got me doing all kinds of things at home. And I don't get weekends off, holidays. And the most important thing, I think, is I miss that paycheck.
Yeah. Yes, sir. If that week goes by and no paycheck, that's something. Well, I've been retired now. It's going to be 2 years in July. And you know, at first, I don't know if you went through the same thing, but at first, I was kind of skeptic about the retiring thing. But then I'm like born again. I really, really like this. Well, Walt, thank you so much for sharing this time with us. And our audience, thank you very much. My name is Diego Alfonso with the Florida Aviation Network, and we will see you very soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.